Amen. And we thank God for Sister Carmen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I gotta say, now how do you say it's a hallelujah? I know a little bit of Spanish. Poco.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hey, don't act up, right? Don't act up. This is a Wednesday night.
All right.
I know Poco. Amen. I used to know the song. I know a song in any Christian song. It's called La Cucaracha.
Oh, okay.
I know that. We bless the Lord. We just thank God. Everyone being here tonight, you know, it's nothing wrong with a smile. But I say, very hard to do a good like a what? Medicine. After we've toiled and had hard troubles and stuff, amen, nothing like coming to church. Amen. Church is a place of solace. Church is a place of comfort. If you can't relax anywhere else, you got to be able to relax in church. Right? If you can't relax anywhere else, you got to be able to relax in church. So look at the person next to you. I know we ain't supposed to do this. We're going to do it for a few seconds. Look at the person next to you. And say, I came to church to relax. So don't you mess me up. Amen. That's it. You came to relax. Because I don't know what kind of problem you've been having, but I came to relax. So don't you mess me up. I don't know what you've been going through, but don't take away my comfort in Jesus. Amen. We truly bless the Lord. We thank God for my wife. Amen. My wife has been putting up with me for about 20-something years, right? We've been married a little over 20 years. How old are you, Brooke?
39.
How old are you?
35.
Oh, okay. I guess we've been married longer than 30 years. We weren't in sin, so they got it right. Amen. But truly, we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. We've been married for 37 years. She put up with me for 37 years. Ain't that good?
Yes.
Oh, I might not be too good. You get too many amens. But we bless the Lord. Thank God for being here. We thank God for all of you being here. Amen. The Bible says every part of the body is needful. In today's church, so many people come to church and feel like they are not needed. But everybody is needful. Everyone has a job to do in the kingdom. The Bible says you can be the smallest, most insignificant part, but the Bible says you are needed in the kingdom. Amen. So don't minimize your value. Don't minimize your worth. Amen. If you're here, God has you in the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. Esther said, who knows whether I'm in the kingdom for such a time as this? I don't know how many of us can go a little further. She said, in the kingdom, if I... That's what we mess up right now. Someone said, I'm in the kingdom and I'm not ready to perish. But she said, I'm in the kingdom for such a time as this. And if I perish, let me perish, but I'm going. I'm going. I'm going to see the king. Amen. This earth is just a temporary stopping place. We're on loan. How many are we on loan? Scripture says, all souls are mine. So we just on loan. A little bit, we're going to go back to where we ought to be. Amen. And James said, our lives are nothing more than a vapor. They're here for a little while, and then we're gone. So I'm going to take advantage of every opportunity. Amen. I'm going to work while it is day. Because the scripture says, the night cometh and no man can work. Can we all work on this day?
Yes.
Amen. Your work won't be my work and my work won't be your work, but do something. Amen. For the kingdom. Let us stand for our scripture reading. Amen. Let's stand for our scripture reading. And we just thank God for how good he's been. And how God has made ways out of no way. And if it was not for the Lord, and on our side. You know, a lot of times people, after they've been saved for a little while, think they did it. They think they everything that they are, they think it's because of who and what they are. But how many know who did it?
I
Who did it?
God
did it. We are where we are tonight because of God's grace and because of God's mercy.
Amen.
Not because we prayed so long, not because we fasted so hard, but if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side. We are here tonight because who's on our side? God is on our side. Amen. Our scripture reading will be coming from Deuteronomy chapter 7. Amen. We're going to finish what we were touching on Sunday on how you are special to God. How many know we're special to God? Give God a name off. But the backside of that is God special to you? We're special to God. We'll go into that a little further. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Let us all read that together. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughters shall I take unto thy son, for they will turn away from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thou shalt destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above
all people.
Above what?
All people
that are upon the face of the earth. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and the church said,
word of the Lord. Yes,
may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So on Sunday we went over that we are special to God. And God says in the sixth verse, for thou art a what kind of people? Holy people. What makes us holy? The Holy Ghost. We are holy because we have a Holy Ghost. So we are holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has, I'm so glad he chose me. I didn't choose him, but he chose me. Amen. The scripture says the Lord thy God has chosen me to be a special people. But it's just not special in the sense I'm in church, but we're supposed to be special unto himself. So tonight we are where we are. We've accomplished what we've accomplished because the Lord said that we are special. Amen. There are other scriptures, the same word special means that we are peculiar. We are different. We are not the same. Amen. Something up here is humming. Oh, somebody over there is humming. Amen. Something is humming. There we go. We don't want me to start humming yet. Amen. But we are special to God in the sense that God said, you are better. I put my name over you, and you are better than all other people of the earth. Not because of us, but because God what? Chose us. Amen?
Glory.
The word, the Hebrew word that the Lord used for special is segula. Z-E-G-U-L-L-A-H. Segula. And that means that you are more important than anything else. Right? Segula. You are more important than anything else. God placed a higher priority on us than anything else. Special also means that there is nothing that even comes close to comparing to being important to you. Amen. That's what special means. And special, when we think of that, how God places such a high premium on us. On the flip side, how much premium do we put on God? Right? So God said, you're special to me. You're above everything else in the world. He said, you're special. But when we look at God in the same specialness, is he above everything else? When it comes to God, is there anything that rivals God in our lives? Is there anything that's close? When it comes to God, everything else should be a distant second. God should be number one. Amen. Can I tell y'all a couple of stories I heard?
Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you anyways. I heard some stories. I believe it was a preacher once said him and his wife were so happily married. And his wife said, dear, so y'all know that about me because I ain't learned to do dear yet. I'm working on that. I'm working on dear. I just ain't heard that growing up, but I'm working on it. I got good things, but not dear yet. All right. Dear Lord, okay, dear Lord. He said, dear, what's the most important thing to you in your whole life? And the preacher, without hesitation, said, God. And the wife got upset. What? How could the wife get upset? Because the preacher said, the most important thing to me in this life is God. How many of us, if we said, what's the most important thing to you tonight? How many of us would shoot it right at that God? God has to be. The scripture said we ought to love the Lord our God with all our heart. Right? All of our souls and all of our mind. So how much do you love God? What's number one to you in your life tonight? So the woman got upset and they had a bad night the rest of the night because God was number one. That's a messed up situation there. Right? How you get mad because God is number one? Right? God has to be number one. Because God is special. And because he's special, that means there should be no other rival. Nothing should come close to even replacing God. Amen. When it comes to God, God is here, and everything else is way down the street over in Albany somewhere. That's the distance it should be. But we unfortunately have allowed situations and things to rival the specialness of God in our life. There are too many things that are too close to God when they should be a distance away. So special means that that's more important to you than anything else in life. Now can I tell you a second story? Second story. You like that, right, Justice? Second story. Amen. As I was praying and preparing this, and this is a true story. The morals might not be all together there, but it's not the morals we're dealing with, but the essence of what something is special. Amen. I once knew a story. Don't try and guess with my wife. Once heard a story of a man that divorced his wife. And after he divorced his wife, he didn't remarry, but he wound up living with another woman. This is a true story. It's not a false story, it's a true story. He wound up living with another woman. But he realized that the divorce was his fault, so he always, on the side, kept in touch with his wife. And on the side, he told his wife, he said, you are special to me. And he said, what he said, when I die, everything I have, I'm leaving to you. Right? Now, this was teens of years. This wasn't 5, wasn't 10. This was a long period that went by. And he kept getting in touch with the wife, telling the wife, you're special to me. I know I made a mistake. I know I messed up, but you're special to me. This is a true story. And I can't give the names out because they might be listening on the internet. You know the story? What? You're supposed to be eavesdropping on a story. But no, this is a true story. I told you? Okay. So what happened was, he said, when I die, everything I have is yours. It appeared that he was happy in a relationship, but he wasn't happy. Because the person he was with wasn't special. The one that he really loved was the special one. And as it happened, the person died. And everyone was going to see the will, like you get a will. And when they got the will, to the chagrin of everyone, including the parents, he left everything to the wife and nothing to the woman that he had been with for almost 20 years. And they were devastated, and there was more fighting and fussing going on, but the wife was always special. Even though they weren't together, she was still number one. I don't say that to condone the immorality of it, but we're trying to say when something is special, nothing can take his place, and no one else can take his place, because that person is special. Well, tonight, how special is God in our lives? Amen. With that being said, let us go to Exodus chapter 19. Special means nothing else even comes close. Nothing comes close. This first one, he died, had a beautiful home. Then him and the other woman was living in. He gave the home to the first wife. And the other woman got kicked out of the home. All the furniture went to the first wife. Everything. And everyone could not figure out what was going on. But the first wife was special. And he realized that he made a mistake. And the only desire he had was to make it right, and that's the only way he could make it right. There are times we do make mistakes. Like I said, we don't condone the morality of it, but when something is special, you don't let anything take its place. It's always going to be number one in your heart. Amen. So she was always number one in his heart. Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through 6. Now, this is 3 months after God had delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. He's going to deal with them about being special to him. But in order for us to be special to God, there are certain conditions or qualifications that we must meet. Amen? Verse 3 reads, Exodus 19, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on. Remember, he told him, he said, I cast out 7 nations that were mighty. Who did it? God did it. He cast them out. Amen. He said, I bare you on evil wings and brought you unto. Isn't that wonderful when you're special to God? God said, I did all that not to drive you away, but to bring you to myself. Why? Because you're special. So God said, I did all this. And this is 3 months after coming out of Egypt. He says, verse 5, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep, these are the conditions, amen, for you to be special and to receive the blessings of God. He said, you have to obey my voice and keep my covenant. Then shall you be a epic words, but you mean you're going to be a special treasure unto me above. If you obey my voice, if you keep my covenants, God said you're going to be special to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now this is when God delivered them out of Egypt, and we know Egypt for us represents the world. Right? So God delivered them out of Egypt and it represented the world. He said, now you're going to be special. You're going to be a holy nation. You're going to be a peculiar people. How? Unto me. God did not change that message from that point all the way up to now. And if we go to 1 Peter chapter 2, we will find out the same message that God gave his people that he delivered out of Egypt, the world, is the same message that he leaves for us today. Amen. We ought to be holy. We ought to be peculiar. We ought to be priests. We ought to be kings unto God. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Do we all have it? If I'm going too fast, say slow down. Can't see that clock. All right, I'll get close. Amen. Verse 9 reads, but you are a... Did we choose God? No, he chose us. So tonight, every last one of us is special to God, because you are a chosen generation, a not just a regular priesthood. We talk about what we are to God. I don't care what anybody else say about you. What are you to God? God said you are a chosen, and you're not just a regular priesthood. So you are a royal priesthood. You are a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of into this. We're special to God. We're not just into any light, we're in a marvelous light. It said, which in time past, we weren't even a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now we have. We are a people tonight. Before we weren't a people because of God's mercy. And verse 11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and, how many know we're nothing more than strangers and pilgrims on this earth? We're just passing. This earth is not our home. We're just passing through. So Peter's trying to echo the same message in the last days that Paul echoed when God delivered them out of Egypt. We're still special to God. And God being special to God, he said, you know what? Just remember, you're just passing through here. Don't get caught up in this life, because this life will pass. We're just a stranger and pilgrim. But we're looking for a city and foundation whose builder is. How many are looking for that city? How many are looking for that place? The builder is God. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's no higher place than God. Than to God. So we're just strangers and pilgrims passing through. Well, what's going to prevent us? Verse 11 says, abstain from the desires of your flesh. Amen. And notice he just said that they fight against your soul. He just said those desires, the appetites of your flesh, just have a little conflict, but they what? War against your souls. Amen. So Peter is right. He said, now if you got to keep everything in its proper perspective. Amen. God has to be number one. Above our own appetites and desire, God has to be number one. Because when we yield to these appetites, they do what? Bring our soul into captivity. So when you allow your flesh to have its way, it's warring against your, not your mind, not your heart, but it's making a war against your soul. Amen. So we have to keep everything in its proper perspective. God has to still be special. And because God is special, hallelujah, you could have messed up, but God is still number one. I might have faltered along the way. I might have tripped up and stepped up and fell down, but God is still. My flesh is trying to tell me that I need to quit. My flesh is trying to tell me I need to get up, but God is still. Flesh, you can't win over my soul. I said, flesh, you can't conquer my soul. come close to God. Say, I have to make a decision. Always make the God decision.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Always make the God decision. Young people, you have to make a decision. Always make the God decision. Well, what's the God decision? For God I live, and for God I die. Glory to God. Can't nothing compare to God in my life, because God is number one. So my God decision is, I can't go back. I won't go back to the way things used to be, because God has been too good. God has been too good. Verse 12 says, the conversation is your conduct, the way you live, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way the world sees you. All right, so having your conversation honest among the unseen. So I'm trying to show that God is number one. I'm trying to show that I still got victory, but I have to walk honest among the unseen, the Gentiles. Those are those that don't know God, right? So how are we walking? When the world look at you and me, do they see honesty? Do they see God? What do they see? Because we are the what? Living. We're the living epistle. You don't ever have to open your Bible. Just watch me. Can you help me say, well, you know what? If everybody's watching me, they'll know how to live saved. They'll know how to live holy. They'll know that I'm a royal priesthood. They know I'm a peculiar person because I'm living the Word. We're the living Word. And what do people see when they see us? Amen?
Amen.
All right, y'all get quiet. Let me, I'll leave that alone. But what do they see when they see us? Do they see Christ? Do they see someone who's been redeemed? Do they see someone say, what shall I speak the words of God's mouth more than my necessary food? The psalmist said, Lord, what shall I bestow on the Lord for all of his benefits unto me? He said, I can't help but take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Amen. So God has to be special. There can be no other companion. There can be no other rival. It shouldn't even be a second guess. It shouldn't even be a temptation. It shouldn't be a hint, the slightest hint that I might not, when we have to make choices. God has to be number one. Now, God permits us to be in situations not to overthrow us, but God said, I suffered you. I allowed you. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 for one quick second. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. A lot of times we look at our hardship and the things that we go through thinking that God is just mad at us, thinking that God has let us down. But that is not the case. If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 1 real fast. And I think I'm going to read up there because I ordered a whole, what happened is I had a whole lot of Bibles, and then every time somebody came from my old countries and stuff, I gave away all my big Bibles. Now I got a magnifying black Bible. Man, I ordered this Bible, I got this. And then I got Bibles everywhere, but I always find up this little thing here. But no, verse 8, so I take the glasses off, I can see better. It's backwards. Sometimes you gotta be back. Chapter 8, verse 1 reads, all the commandments which I command thee, ye shall what? Observe to do. Not just observe, but to what? To do. That ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord. Somebody said, God has made us some promises. But in order for you to reap those promises, you have to be obedient. You have to observe what he has said, and you must also do it. Now, a whole lot of us have seen it, but how many of us are doing it? Amen? How many of us are doing it? Verse 2 said, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Well, why did God take them through the wilderness for 40 years. To what? God said, I want to humble you. And most of all, I wanted to. So a lot of times we go through stuff and we think God is all upset with us. But God said, no, first of all, I had to get you out of the way. God said, I allowed you to go through that because it was too much of you. So I permitted you to go through that so I could. I had to move you out the way. You were in your own way. So God said, I did this to humble you and to prove you to know God. Everything that we go through, God is using that to reveal something that's in our heart. And we get all wrapped up and messed up in it, and we focus on the problem instead of realizing what's in our heart. Well, what to know is in our heart, whether thou wouldest. God said, I allowed you. Well, everything we go through, God said, is a test. To see, are you going to honor me by keeping my commandments? And by honor me by doing my word? Are you going to do what you want to do? If you do what you want to do, God didn't humble you. So when God gives you a test and you still magnify yourself and you're being proud, guess what you get? Another test. Right? Because God won't bless us in our wrong. So when you fail the test, God said it's coming back again. Then verse 3 said, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou neither thy father know, that he might make thee to know that. But what? I didn't just test my wife, I'm reading. He did that. Yeah, you too, bro. But that's a family joke. Y'all want to know the joke? Nah, I can tell you. But he did this that he might humble thee and make thee to know that man does not live by but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth. So God wants to know, are we living by his word? Every time, listen, every time you fail the test repeats itself. Because God won't move you until you pass the test. Amen. Now, we're going to go to Joshua chapter 24. Actually, no, let's skip Joshua chapter 24. We're special to God. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Now, it's very important that we understand tonight that we're special to God. But in being special to God, God won't bless us unless we are also obedient. Amen. We're special. God loves us, but God won't bless us unless we all are obedient and unless we do what he has told us to do. Amen. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. So it's so important to realize that we are special to God. Amen. God will be there for us when no one else is there because we are special. But is God special to us? Special meaning that nothing even comes close to God. Amen. You don't have to question my loyalty, my dedication, my salvation, because God is number one. Even if I have to go through the fiery furnace, I will not fall down and worship the golden image. Amen. The Hebrew boy said, we're not even careful. He said, we don't even have to take no thought on this, King. We're not going to worship your idols. Because God can deliver us. But if he don't, be assured one thing. I won't turn my back on God. Amen. Verse 16 reads, then they that. Can anybody here feel the Lord? Give God a wave off. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord, when you fear God, and you talk right, and you act right, the Bible said, the Lord will hear you. Right? So they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They weren't talking about the foolishness, they were talking about God's word. Amen. And because they were talking about God's word and building God's word up, God said, I got to hear them. Amen. The Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that hear And that God, I'm in trouble, but I still got his name.
Amen.
I got hardship, but I still got his name.
Amen.
I got nothing but woe, but I'm still thinking on his name. He said, and they shall be mine.
Amen.
Said the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my special treasure. So just keep talking about God. Keep God first. Now, if we could quickly go to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to compare that with Luke chapter 16. And I only have a couple of minutes, so we're closing these last two chapters. Now, Matthew chapter 6 is a continuation of the Beatitudes. All right, a lot of times we stop it in 5, but he didn't stop it in 5. He kept going through 6 and through 7. All right, that's all part of the Beatitudes. But in the beginning of chapter 6, the Lord is dealing with them about how they prioritize themselves with him. He was dealing with them about prayer. He said, don't be a hypocrite and do all your praying and all this stuff to be seen of men. Then he said, don't be like the hypocrites to do all of your fasting to be seen of men. He said, because when you do stuff for men, then you have your reward. Amen. But when you do it for God, he said, then that is different. So that brings us down to verse 19 on the short side. All right, verse 19. Now it's so important, I think I was telling them in the minister's class, that we don't isolate scriptures to build a doctrine. Amen. Because what we do is we isolate a scripture and we miss the whole context of the chapter. We miss what God was saying because we're focusing on a scripture when God speaks before the scripture and after the scripture. So we take the one scripture, we make a whole doctrine on it, but we miss the true essence of it because we only focus on the principle, but we miss the context. So when we focus on principles, we miss the context because we don't read before, we don't read after. Amen. So first, so he's talking about the way they should pray and the proper way to pray and how God knows what you need before you even ask. And then he told them the Lord's Prayer, give us this day, and you have to forgive us if you want to be forgiven. Then he goes down, he said, even when you fast, don't do it to be seen of men. Amen. So then verse 19, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves, your treasures should be in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there where your
heart.
Where is our treasure tonight? It should be in the specialness of God. Because when our treasure is with God, that is where our heart is. Amen. He goes now, this is a principle in his teaching. He does not isolate scripture, so he goes from the way we ought to pray, how we ought to fast, and where our treasure should be. In Colossians, I believe, 3rd chapter, verse 1, say, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Right? It means put your affection on the things above. Has God saved us? Then our affections should be on the things above. Now we know we are heavenly bound and earthly no good, but God has to be number one. Chapter 6 of Matthew and Luke 16, he's teaching them to prioritize, as we will see as we continue. He says, the light of the body is the what? The eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of
light.
But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of
darkness.
Like, what does this have to do with prayer? What does this have to do with your treasure? What does all this have to do with it? Right? He's teaching them a principle. He's not isolating a scripture. Amen? He said, how great is that darkness? No man can serve. What does this have to do? He's teaching them how to prioritize. What did he start off with? Their prayer life. Right. The first thing he said, listen, prioritize, then get your prayer life together. Then after you pray, you still have to fast, because there are some things that come not out but by prayer and fasting. He said, then after you pray and after you fast, what thought dominates your being? Where is your treasure? just figure out a way. I know you ladies, don't mess with Sean. I say Sean because I don't never Sean. we're not getting all personal. No, I won't tell the story. But we got to prioritize. Like, so he said, pray, fast, and now after you've done it, where's your treasure? He said, now you also have to keep your eye single. Your focus has to still be on God. And he said, because verse 24 says, no man, you can't serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and, well, mammon will be wealth or possessions or riches. Amen. Wealth, possessions, and riches. Now, there's nothing wrong with having them, but this mammon is a wealth, possessions, and riches that rival God. That's what this mammon is. When you have possession, wealth, and riches, and it rival God, it could be an individual. Well, I know I have to be doing for God, but I'm going to fast mammon. Right? When it personally rivals God, that is mammon. So possessions. The Bible says the earth is the Lord and the what? The world and they that. So everything in this world belongs to God. Everything. My suit, even though I'm wearing it, who does it belong to? Right? My soul is in me, but who does it belong to? Everything we own belongs to. So God permits us to be the leaseholders. We don't own. Didn't we read earlier? He said, everything is mine. Everything is God. My car that I drive belongs to God. The car that you drive belongs to God. You're just a leaseholder. Anybody ever lease a car? What happened at the end of the lease? Gotta give it back, right? Because you don't own it. Everything we have, we're just leaseholders. Leaseholders. It all belongs to God. So God is saying, you know, with that stuff that I gave you, that stuff, is that mammon? Or is that going to be the true riches? With that being said, now let's go to Luke chapter 16. We'll close here in Luke chapter 16. So mammon is any possession that rivals God. It's not just wealth. It's not just riches. Anything that rivals God is mammon. Amen? Let me go to Luke chapter 16. Actually, I typed the scripture out, but I forgot to print it. Amen. Well, we're going to start on verse 11 of this one. Well, actually, verse 10 of Luke 16. Luke 16. So mammon is anything that rivals to come up against God. That's mammon. Amen. So he said in verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in that which is. Now we can do our own rating here. How faithful are we? He said, if you're faithful in that which is least, you'll also be faithful in that which is. And nobody has to watch you because you are faithful. Right? You don't have to watch people that are not faithful. You know what the Bible says about someone who's unfaithful? It said, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I just have to do it every once in a while. You know, you gotta lighten up. You gotta come to church, you're all serious about it. You gotta lighten up. So it said, when you're unfaithful, you're like a broken tooth. Anybody ever have a toothache? What do you do when you have a toothache? You just run around laughing and smiling and having a good time, right? You struggle with that thing, right? Some people don't even go to work when they get a toothache. Other people, not y'all. So he said, so if you're not faithful, you're like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Anybody ever have a little problem with their foot? What do you do when you have a problem with your foot? Just keep on running, right? Well, this is where we're talking about being faithful. Amen. Because when you're faithful, everything goes smoothly. So he goes on to say in the next verse, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the if you haven't been faithful in what God has given you, These are what the unrighteous mammon. These worldly possessions, whether their wealth, whether their houses, whether their cars, whether their clothes. If you haven't been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, he said, who will commit to you the? So if I don't, if the stuff that God has given me that I'm accountable and responsible for, I'm not faithful in that, how can God give me the true riches, which come from heaven? The things of this world, we know, is mine and I ain't sharing it with nobody, right? That mindset is unrighteous. If God has blessed you with it, I don't have time to go to Proverbs chapter 3 and says, tell me, say, stay on course. Because y'all trying to go home, right? I'm going to stay on course. But God give you stuff and somebody's in need and you say, I'll pray for you. James said, how does that help? Right? Somebody's praying. So God said, if you're not going to properly handle that unrighteous mammon, I can't give you the true riches. Amen. And we go on here. You said, verse 12 says, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is, who should give you that which is? He said, no man can search. Now, in the context of that, he begins with the steward that had one of the servants owed the money. Then he finishes this with Lazarus and the rich man. How we must prioritize our lives. So tonight, are we serving? Or is God so special that nothing else comes close as we all stand? God has to be number one. And the way we can tell is God is number one, how do you handle this mammon? How do you handle, I heard a preacher say that person didn't have a vehicle and they've been praying for God to bless them with a vehicle because the elders and the ministers come forward. Say, God bless them with a vehicle and he didn't want to pick nobody else in church. He said, God leased that vehicle to you. Not for you to have sole possession of it and not to share it, but God gave it to you for you to share with others. So if you're not faithful in that, God's not going to give you the true riches. Amen. And then I heard someone say, one person was just buying clothes after clothes, and they saw someone that was homeless with no clothes and didn't have enough compassion to share what they had. That is the unrighteous mammon. If you don't handle that properly, how can God commit the true riches tonight? It's so important tonight. We are special to God, but is God special to us, Elder Gibbs?